Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard. Let's go, North America. Wake up with us on this Friday morning as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. To know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. It's me, Miraz, with Bogish. It's the DA show. It's a Target demo Friday. Go to facebook.com/the DA show where you have a great Target demo graphic meme done up by the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. It's Andrew Bogish looking like one of the characters in the Goonies. And what, I forget the Goonies. What character is this, Bogish?
So this is the mean older brother. I don't remember his name in Goonies, but he's the who eventually ends up helping them in the end, but he's a jerk at the start.
That's
played by Josh Brolin.
Right, and that's who Bogish is looking like these days. Also, at our Twitters, at Andrew Bogish, at Miraz CBS, at CBS Sports Radio. Look, we want to know how you're listening, where you're listening, what you're doing this weekend. A lot of baseball games on, a lot of soccer, a lot of basketball exhibition. We are back to sports on our TVs, baby. And golf as well. So what are you doing all weekend? What are you cooking? We got Bogish cooking steaks tonight for the Mets opener. He'll be into it. I'm trying to figure out my dinner plans now as well. It's a whole kit caboodle we got going on, Bogish. But let's first start this hour with it's you can't make it up. You can't make it up. I was very nervous when this news broke, and the news being Juan Soto, star of the Washington Nationals, Nationals testing positive for coronavirus. Knowing the Nationals were going to be one of the first teams to play versus the New York Yankees, I was nervous they were going to scrap the whole game, that this was going to become very eerily similar to the Rudy Gobert situation in Utah with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Jazz that kind of started this whole sports shutdown and amidst the pandemic. But Juan Soto tested positive. He obviously was around plenty of members, if not all of the members of the Nationals clubhouse, while he seemingly had the coronavirus, unless it's a false positive, as you've alluded to in some of the updates. And the league pressed on. They kept the game on, and they did what they have vowed to do and what other leagues have vowed to do, which are, hey, positive tests are going to happen. We are taking the safety protocols. We are going to keep testing. And we are going to have to learn to live with the virus. And that was something that has been vowed by all these commissioners and something I think everybody was very nervous about because you fear what happened in the NBA where we didn't really know much about the virus. And the game on. And now you just hope that this doesn't lead to, you know, we're going to later find out, oh, wait, you know, 18 players from the Nationals now have coronavirus and they were playing the Yankees and 12 players like that have coronavirus, because that's the kind of snowball effect that will reshut down the sports landscape. But I don't know about you, Bogus. The moment this news broke about Juan Soto testing positive, and ironically on, you know, the World Series champs who were about to play the first game back from Major League Baseball, I was fearing the worst and fearing a shutdown was already right back there where we started from.
Yeah, I mean, the timing couldn't be worse, right? It's almost like the universe or the virus wanted to remind you who was in charge as all of this was beginning. And just to kind of lay out the time frame that we think is, you know, one that's been reported since yesterday, is that the Nationals were told yesterday that Soto was positive from a test that he took on Tuesday, which means he had been around players. Now, he doesn't have any symptoms, so he's a carrier, and he had been around his teammates now while they were socially distancing and had masks on and all the precautions, but he was around his teammates not knowing he was infected for at least a couple of days. So this is where, like, this is how, this is the uncontrollable, right? Because they can do all these different things, and we went through all the craziness of the NBA bubble where you got to throw out a deck of cards every time you use it. There's no doubles ping pong, only singles. And
right.
So, like, what they're trying to do is prevent spread. But I don't understand how they were allowed to play last night, because the fact that he had been around everybody for 36, 48 hours carrying this bug. And yeah, they're wearing masks and they're staying separate, but they can only do that to a certain extent. And the point of, like, the system is, like, to be as trustworthy of your teammates as more so than the other guys. And, like, to me, someone else has to have this, just by what we know about the disease so far, is that, like, someone else is going to test positive. And then you also have the Yankees then taking kind of extra precautions with Aaron Boone telling them to talk to nobody on the national side, stay farther away, keep your masks on. There were a lot of guys in the dugout with masks last night that maybe they wouldn't have had them on to begin with. And, like, this is the inherent danger. And all we can do now is hope that, like, as you said, there's not too many people that also somehow have now gotten this week because Juan Soto, or even somebody else, by the way, brought it into their little mini bubble in D.C.
So this honestly is something that the NFL is going to have to monitor as well, and it's the great unknown. And I do think that if you went into this Major League Baseball season, or frankly any of these sports, even with the bubble, whether it's the NBA, NHL, WNBA, and you go into it with the idea of, oh my goodness, somebody on this team tested positive, which means he was around 29 of his teammates and we played a team. This team can't be playing right now. We need to shut this down. Well, to me, if that is the mindset we have, then I don't think sports can be back, because it's inevitable, because that is basically the definition of contact tracing. You know, you're around these guys and that's it. So clearly Major League Baseball and these sports are serious about, we need to find a way to push through. And the only thing I can lean on, Bogish, and I don't think this has really been discussed enough, is I actually think you could take a lot from the original Utah Jazz situation of a coronavirus shutdown. Now, I do want to say, before I make this following statement, obviously we saw in the MLS what happened with FC Dallas, and who was the other team? Was it Nashville?
Nashville, yes.
Nashville. They obviously had way too many players test positive that they had to withdraw from the tournament. But if we go back to the original coronavirus is here, that crazy night where you and I would be hosting the next morning, where Tom Hanks has coronavirus on an island, and we find out that Rudy Gobert tested positive. If you remember, it was Donovan Mitchell also, I believe, who tested positive.
Yeah.
That happened, and that was a close locker room with Utah. They had been playing other teams, and sure, there were a couple other players in the NBA that came up with it. But the one thing that always seemed to astonish me back then was, how the heck didn't the whole Utah Jazz get it? I mean, you're right next to each other. Obviously, there's zero precautions at the time. There's no masks. There's no anything. And luckily, the majority of the Utah Jazz, as far as we know, never came positive off of that with coronavirus. And I think if these leagues are smart enough, maybe they look at that, and maybe it's an aberration, and maybe that was just by sheer luck. But if that happened back then with the Utah Jazz, I think the other leagues are hopeful that, okay, this is scary. We're hoping maybe only one or two get it. They have to be quarantined right away, but the majority of our players will not get it just by, you know, leaning on what happened with Utah. Like, that at least is out there. Now, it could go the other way like we saw with the MLS, but, I mean, there is at least some kind of ground or something we can lean on in the NBA that maybe, just maybe, if a guy tests positive, it doesn't mean your whole team now is going to be infected.
Yeah, and see, like, my concern in all of this has been, like, individual breakouts, like the soccer teams that you mentioned, and there was one also to the Orlando team in the NWSL. Now, they had the ability to reconfigure their tournament, the MLS did, and actually the NWSL too, they just left them out. But, you know, the MLS had just started, so they just, and luckily they lost an even number of teams, which led them then spread things out, and they basically went forward as possible, you know, as easily as possible, and nothing else happened, where I think the last two rounds of tests, they've had zero positives down in their bubble in Orlando. But, like, that's what I don't know how, what baseball or the NFL will do if a team can't play. Like what, and we'll exactly use this example, like what if now, and the Nats were going under more tests today, and they, as of last night, they thought that those who had been around once or the most were okay. If, though, they end up with like 10, 11, 12 guys, now theoretically, they've got more players to bring in and replace those
right.
guys and give them a
pool,
team.
Right?
Right. So they have the numbers to do this. But like at some point, which was the issue for Nashville and for FC Dallas and MLS, is, you know, it's just it becomes almost it's almost an unfair competition if the Nats AAA team is playing a major league schedule as opposed to the actual Nationals. So like the individual breakout has always been my concern. Like, how do you overcome that? Or because a city has an issue that you can't be in this city anymore, fixing that on the fly is obviously going to be a logistical nightmare. So to have this happen yesterday and, you know, right out of the chute to have this reminder of just how dicey and sensitive all of this is, you know, was just that, a reminder that every day of games that we get, we're lucky to get them because this all can change in a moment. And now we just hope that the Nationals and the Yankees, that no one else, you know, they leave this situation unscathed. And they move on to Saturday and Sunday games like normal.
Yeah, and I guess the next week will be really critical because a lot of these guys, as we know, may not test positive. And really, they give you that 14-day window as well. But, you know, if we get with this constant testing that these players are going to be under, the next week where there's not really a rash between the Nationals or Yankees, I think, not that you'll ever be able to breathe a sigh of relief, but I think it'll be refreshing to all sports, all the four major sports. And I think the NFL, again, is watching this very closely that, all right, we can, as professional sports leagues, learn with our constant tracing and our measures to keep the league going. And if we lose a couple players here and there to the COVID list and they have to come back later, then that's okay. And that's just what we have to do. And it really stinks for the Nationals and it stinks for Juan Soto that, you know, maybe he's not going to be able to play for a couple weeks and, you know, you lose a big star like that, that hurts you. But look, it's all about safety and all about precaution. How do you balance the safety, the precaution, with the fact that you want to keep playing games? So, look, big scare, I think, for Major League Baseball. They went on. They still played that game last night kind of, I guess, defiantly, but also optimistically, just trying to show that, hey, we're going to learn to live with this thing. But I think the next week to 2 weeks are obviously going to be critical. And if this doesn't pop up as a rash, it's another breath of, okay, we can get through this and we can figure this out.
Well, and obviously for all of us, you know, the vaccine is the game changer in all of this. But I think what would be obviously helpful for all of these teams and leagues and you know, for all of us to a certain extent, obviously, is if we got to a point where the testing was trusted and instantaneous. I said this back in hour number one. There's been multiple reports that Juan Soto, I guess, in follow-up tests to the initial positive, was negative in instant result tests, both through his nasal swab and through his saliva. But for what, and I don't know the scientific medical reasoning, but those negatives aren't good enough in the baseball perspective to have cleared him of that positive test initially, that he needs to have two full-scale lab tests taking time negatives before we can get back on the field. But this is, to me, again, one of the problems of this virus, which has made it so hard to battle, is they've got this, you know, 48-hour lag time in getting results back. That's a long time for somebody to be possibly spreading around germs that right. he doesn't know he has. And also, too, like, it's just, it opens up the question as well is, you can test negative on Wednesday, positive on Thursday, but you took the test on Wednesday, so you think, you know, you think you're okay, but you're not okay. So, like, the virus doesn't always just show up right from day one. You could have it to a certain extent in your system, but it doesn't trigger a positive. So you've got a negative, which is kind of a false negative. One day you're negative, one day you're positive. There's no straight line. There's no easy notification or IDing of it, too. So it leaves it the way it lives and spreads, creates this scenario where we don't, as much as we are trying, we don't know who has it at the very second that they have it, leading to stuff like this. And it's just, it's so hard to get it, get a handle of it and get a grip on it. And with these things being so sensitive and not as easy to say, oh, I'll be careful and stay home for 14 days if I was around somebody who might have had it. You know, these guys do need answers quicker than maybe the regular person does. And I hate to say that they deserve special treatment. That's not really the point here. But right. like what they're trying to accomplish would really benefit from a test that they could trust that immediately they know nobody has it as they're going on the field, not hoping or waiting on test results that guys don't have it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I could tell you right up the block from me. I mean, a mere 4 blocks, I pass it every day. We have the big, you know, rapid testing results in 41 minutes, which is weird how they get to that number or something like that. And you have to wonder, okay, if that's reliable, how come we don't have that by now almost for everybody? Like, could we get this going and get this, you know, for these athletes? It should be, you know, because then you could have done it all yesterday once Juan Soto tests positive. Everybody on all these teams, okay. We got your results. Let's go. And that's it.
Yeah, and when I went for my test, they were like, it's going to be at least 10 days. Like, that's a long... No, I went for the blood test one where you're just testing for the antibodies to see if you had somehow had came in contact with it. But, like, that's also the turnaround time here on Long Island for the nasal swab test, too. I mean, 10 days is a long time to go around... No, like, think, what if I do have it? I got to be extra careful. So, like that's lab backlog and stuff like that. So I'm glad that the testing is there and people are getting tested. But, I mean, 10 days is a long time to not know a really important piece of information.
Right. It's, the whole thing is wild. The whole thing is ever evolving. But Major League Baseball seemingly has survived a scare so far with Juan Soto testing positive basically hours before everybody came to the ballpark for Nationals Yankees. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We have Richard in Myrtle Beach. Richard, you're on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Gentlemen, I listen to you every morning. Right now, I'm sitting at the beach having a mimosa listening to you guys, so I think it's great.
Oh, I love that. Love that, Richard. What's going on, man?
Three things real quick. Oh, Andrew, if I'm not mistaken, the first time I heard you on radio, you were with John Feinstein. Am I correct?
You're correct. Yeah, at least here on the network, yeah.
Right. This is going back years ago. Three things. I'm glad that Major League Baseball added another six teams because it's short season anyway. And I'm a Nationals fan, so hopefully we got three good starting pitchers. I'd love to see the Nats play the Yankees in the World Series and then take out the Yankees again.
Well, enjoy starting 0-3 right now, Richard, but go on.
Sir?
I said enjoy starting 0-3 to start the season right now, but go on.
Oh, thank you. Number two, I'm not paying to watch two senior citizens box on TV. I'm just not going to do it. And the third thing, let me ask you this. I've been a Washington fan for over 50 years. I'm glad they got rid of the name and they're taking their time. But, you know, I think in tribute to the days when Gibbs was there, when we had the Hogs like Jacoby, Grimm, Bostic, Rigo, and all that, I wouldn't mind seeing the name change to the Washington Hogs.
I wouldn't mind either. Thanks for the call, Richard. Washington Hogs would be great. Nice pig logo right on the center. I don't mind that. I will say, Richard, first of all, I love the setting on Myrtle Beach having a mimosa. But I don't. I think he's had more than one because he lost count. That was the fourth thing he got to. He did two third things, which are very interesting. It's good though. We love Richard listening down at Myrtle Beach. Look, I'm for the Hogs. B, I think a Nationals-Yankee World Series would be a lot of fun, although the Yankees would run through them like a buzzsaw, not for nothing, because we saw last night already what Max Scherzer can't handle this little Yankee lineup. It was you with the Feinstein show. That's what he said. Okay, so
yes,
we had that.
That's true.
And what was number two out of his four-part thing that he thought was a three-part thing?
A playoff expansion.
Oh, playoff expansion. We're going to get into playoff expansion in about 42 minutes, and I do have some thoughts. I'm sure Bogus does as well. We talked to Doug Glanville. So how about that? We'll save that tease. Keep drinking those mimosas. Heat up those Eggo waffles. We'll see you in 42 minutes, Richard. We'll give you your thoughts on playoff expansion. All right, when we come back, did anybody see this trailer of what's going to happen tomorrow night on Fox and it's a sign of the NFL to come? Virtual fans. Did Fox nail this thing? That plus Bob's Bar was treated like a true Yankee opening day. Were we in the stadium last night? We'll discuss what I mean next. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, Mornings, Mothership.
I was very known on Long Island for being the first one to put bacon on the chicken teriyaki. I know this is true.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Yes, I was a pro sandwich maker. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It is the DA Show. It's Mraz and Bogus. DA taking a little four-day weekend here as we the summer of love continues for DA. The summer of love. We'll be back next week on Thursday and Friday as well. But, of course, the whole DA Show team, all of us, Bogus, myself, Beat the Body, DA, Wizard of Watch, DA Kaplan, Connor Green as well. We'll be here all week next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before DA sets sail again on Thursday, Friday.
Did you get a visit, by the way, from DA yesterday?
So I saw DA yesterday for the first time. I guess it would be since March 11th, since he left aboard that flight for Florida for spring training. It was the first time I saw DA in person yesterday. Him and the Bourbon Bell had a nice, wonderful visit out to Long Island. They took some time with their day off yesterday. They did a lot of time down by the water, you know, walking around the docks down by me. And then they went to, I believe, a nice sunset dinner on the North Shore we directed them to. But they came by a little bit in the afternoon. They saw Casa de Mraz, and they met my wonderful daughter, Taylor, and they were just great. They were great. They were very safe, distant, while a lot of hand-washing, a lot of all of that. But it was really good to see DA again in all seriousness. His hair, by the way, guys, is unbelievably – he does a good job of hiding it on the stream. His hair is really long, like when he bends down. But I will also say this, and how about this? We're talking about being safe and washing hands and distant. DA comes to my house yesterday. The guy's covered in poison ivy. I mean, covered in poison ivy. So I didn't say anything when he first walked in. He comes in the short sleeve shirt. Hey, guys, how you doing? You know, he brings Taylor a gift, a little toy pig. It was great. The Bourbon Bell's awesome. Eli's going nuts. You know, he's petting him. You know, how you been? Good to see you. Yada, yada, yada. Let me see Blob's bar. I show him the studio set up down here. We're going, giving him the whole tour of the house because he's never been here. You know, just catching up. We haven't seen each other in forever other than, you know, when we do the show every day like this. And I know that sounds weird because we do see each other every day, but not like that in actual person. But, you know, I'm kind of noticing this, like, blotchiness, like, head to toe all over him. Except really just not on his face. Like, what is going on with DA? And I don't want, you know, who knows what kind of, you know, it's a health problem DA is going through that I not notice.
Right, how do you bring it up?
So now the time comes, Taylor wakes up from a nap. And, you know, she kind of has that stunned baby look like, all right, who are you guys? You know, like Home Alone, who are you? You know, and DA's wife is awesome, and she's kind of, you know, Gucci going or whatever. And then, you know, I say, you know, wash your hands. If you want to hold her, wash your hands. And she washes her hand, whatever, put her hold. So she's holding her for a little bit, and I see DA just kind of waving at her, and DA's being fun with her. And I go to Diego, DA, you know, I know everything's going on right now, but, you know, if you go wash your hands, you absolutely can hold her for a little bit. You know, I'm doing this book right now of everybody that holds my daughter for the first time. I'm going to have a picture at the end of the year, kind of like for her to give to her. That's like my idea. So I wanted to take a picture of both of them. Diego's, yeah, I don't know if I feel comfortable holding her right now, man. I got a lot of poison ivy. Like the guy's sitting all over my furniture, you know,
doing
basically
snow angels in your
right,
carpet,
open,
but he can't hold
opening
your baby.
My fridge, using my bathroom, my table. He's dropping things all over, and I'm like,
he's
I wasn't gonna say anything.
Dropping fragments all over your house,
right? It turns out he rubbed like a bunch of. I don't. I guess
you're gonna
some
eat
kind of
a skin shard, you know, at some point, thinking it's like a potato chip.
He rubbed.
Is that a chip? Nope. DA's poison ivy.
This is what's funny. He rubbed a bunch of clay all over his arms, like his forearms up to his biceps. It's all like he has a clay. It's like he's covered, like he's doing some kind of casting for like the Mummy Returns or something.
Claymation. DA-mation.
Right, the clay's just falling all over the place. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm like, in the midst of the pandemic, we take safe precautions for you to come over to my house, and now you're rubbed up with clay because you're doing poison ivy? And I said to him, I go, how did you even get poison ivy right now? He goes, man, weed whacking my property. And I said, there we go again with the luscious backyard. We got to see the pictures of it on Instagram. He's going through all the shrubbery and everything with his weed whacker, and he's now covered in poison ivy. And he comes over my house going to all the restaurants and everything. So if we didn't have enough to worry about in the world with COVID, here's DA with freaking poison ivy going all over Long Island, spreading it everywhere he can.
Instead of staying away from people, but not bushes, he's just jumping into shrubbery around his house and rolling around. That's the only contact he's got these days. And lo and behold, he's got poison ivy.
So to follow up, Bogus, no, he cannot have the Blue Jays play in his backyard because Vlad Guerrero Jr. will come head to toe covered in poison ivy because of what the heck's going on up there. But no, it was
the Blue Jays off the table. Damn.
All right. It was very nice seeing D.D. He even brought me a cigar, which was nice. He said he has a nice cigar.
Wow.
I got a new koozie from Tropical Bros. He got me a shirt from the T-shirt shop. It was like Christmas. D.A. was bringing everything over the house. So it was really good. Got to spend a couple hours. You know, we kicked back. We had a drink in the backyard at Blob's Bar. We, you know, just talking. A lot of Schwartz conversation, obviously.
Of course.
So, no, it was good seeing him. But, yeah, head to toe in poison ivy, the guy comes over on his day off. So, well, we'll see. We're going to have to bring that up when he's back.
I've also seen you in person, but you're in a full bunny costume prancing outside my front door. So I'm jealous you.
Right. And actually, now I've hit the trifecta because I saw Pete when I came back to the studio a couple weeks ago. So I've now officially seen all three of you at some point in pandemic. But Kaplan, I haven't seen. I'm sure his hair is all over the place at this point. The guy was in dire straits just as the pandemic was starting. I can only imagine 4 months later, the guy's basically going to look like he's going to roll out of a van to go see the Grateful Dead on tour all summer.
That's on stage.
That's basically what I'm going to expect Kaplan to look like when we come back. All right, Bogus, before we talk about Fox and their fans, why don't you give us our latest sports update?
These headlines are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Chorizo!
The Washington Nationals, deprived of starting their season with an emotional come-from-behind win over the Yankees last night, a deluge began in the top of the sixth in D.C., ending opening night and gift wrapping a 4-1 win for those Yanks. The old Mike Stanton, a homer and 3 RBI, and Gerrit Cole, technically a complete game one hitter in his Yankee debut. In his Dodger debut, Mookie Betts got a hit, scored a run. Kike Hernandez did the heavy lifting instead on offense.
Hernandez lines one into right field for a base hit. It's going to be a 2-run single. And sliding into second base, Hernandez, the Dodgers take a 4-1 lead.
That's Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. Hernandez, 4 hits, a homer, and 5 RBI. That 2-run single, part of a 5-run seventh that sent LA to an 8-1 win over the Giants. Dustin May started for the Dodgers because Clayton Kershaw went on the IL with back troubles. His return is to be determined. Playoff expansion is a thing for this season. 16 teams instead of 10. The top 2 clubs in each division plus the next 2 best records get in. Teams will be bracketed 1-8. The first round is a best of 3, all at the higher seeds stadium. So they'll play 3 straight days of games, no travel day, which then quickens the pace to get to the division series, the LCS, the World Series. Those series, their normal length of 5 and 7 games, as well as their normal structure, too. Good times for Jet fans this morning. Unhappy safety Jamal Adams telling the New York Daily News that Adam Gase is not the head coach to lead them to, quote, the promised land. Adams says that Gase has bad relationships throughout the entire organization. Adams also hasn't gotten that extension he wanted. He also told the paper he would have understood if the Jets said they weren't paying him now because they wanted to use that money to bring in some extra talent around him first, but that is not what is happening.
Oh.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, just when things had quieted down, no extension, moving on, about to be a training camp, he tells them that the coach isn't good enough to get us where we need to be.
It's the easy layup, but it is George Costanza taking the World Series trophies and driving around the parking lot yelling about Steinbrenner or wearing Luke Gehrig's pants and basically breaking them out. He is trying to get fired. I mean, blatantly, he's pulling out all the stops. It's unbelievable.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, they will be the Washington football team for the coming season. Same burgundy and gold colors, player numbers instead of a logo on helmets. Dan Snyder's club could not pick a full new identity before week one. A group of Kentucky faculty members want the university to remove Adolph Rupp's name from the basketball arena. The legendary coach did not integrate his program until 1969, so the professors say his name has come to symbolize racism and exclusion to many. As for college football, the Pac-12 is reportedly close to unveiling a plan for a conference-only schedule, 10 games. It would start in mid to late September, and there'd be 2 bye weeks built in to account for any games that might need to be canceled or changed because of COVID-19 issues. You would play the other five schools in your division and then five crossover games to get to the 10 for all Pac-12 members. And finally, let me try to explain this as well as I possibly can. Last night, MLS tourney in Orlando, the final night of group stage, there was one more spot up for grabs in the knockout stage, which begins tomorrow. Three teams for that one spot: LA Galaxy, Houston Dynamo, and NYCFC. LA and Houston were playing last night. Houston was winning 1-0, which would have put them into that next round, but gave up the tying goal in the 90th minute. The tie, though, knocks them both out and puts NYCFC in that knockout stage instead. Sean, back to you.
All right, Bose. Well, look, we're all trying to find a way for it to feel real without fans at Major League Baseball. And opening day had to feel like opening day. So I don't know if you saw this. Fox has put out something that they're going to do with their Saturday baseball games, which we'll talk about, virtual fans, which will lead to the NFL. And it looked really cool. I don't know if you saw the trailer, Bogish. It looked really, really cool. When you zoom in, and I don't know why you'd be zooming in on TV, yes, they look like digitized Sims from a PC game, but the fact that they can overlay these fans in the actual seats of these empty stadiums, with everybody wearing the team gear, the fans will boo on Fox, so I guess they'll boo opposing big hitters. I don't know if they'll boo, you know, your own guys you can't stand or something like that. They will also have the fans doing the wave behind you, I guess, just to show some kind of interaction, which I think is really cool. I don't know if it'll be like Dodger games where the fans only show up in the second inning, or if they eventually do this in the NBA where the Heat fans leave early. But the idea that you're going to interject fans in here, Bogus, I think it looks awesome. I was shocked at how good it really, really looked. I know it's video gamey, but it's not over the top, where I think if you drop them in, it's going to play right on TV, better than some of these cardboard cutouts or the empty seats.
Yeah, I need to see it like in reality on Saturday to really have an opinion on this. I mean, I think that anything is better than the empty seats. That's, to me, what I've noticed the most, is not the sound of the game. It looks so different. I mean, there's no way to hide the fact that there are empty seats in all of these huge cavernous stadiums. And to me, I can't not notice them. I don't know that I'm going to ever get used to those things not being there. The different sounds, I think I'm going to get over because I have in other places, but the empty seats, not things that you can hide, or, you know, the MLS in Disney just playing on a field with no stands anyway, the empty seats will always be there. So anything covering them, even if it was just wall-to-wall signage, I think would be better than the empty seats. So I'm all for this. I just need to see it like over nine innings in practice. But it does look good in what they released yesterday.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. If they nail this in the NFL, CBS, NBC, ESPN, they're going to have to find a way to rev up their game and maybe do something similar, because you can't have Fox NFL Sunday being the only one where it looks awesome with video game fans and the others just kind of look blasé with empty seats. Like, the other networks are going to have to up their game big time, because I thought personally the trailer looked good, but as you pointed out, we'll get nine innings. We get a couple Saturday games on Fox this weekend, and we'll check it out. And I'm sure we'll have more to talk about on Monday. Now, other places are trying to make the best of things. You know, fans, you saw last night fans on top of the Hampton Inn outside Washington trying to watch the game. And, of course, there was the big Yankee opening day party at Bob's Bar last night.
Well, hold on. Before you leave the digital fans here for a second, I thought this was going to be your hot take, because the reel that Fox released yesterday had like the templates for the different fans that are going to be digitally put into stadiums.
Right.
And unless I missed it, everybody was skinny, Sean.
Ah, I did.
And you had this concern with the cutouts, that is it going to really show my shape, or is it going to be two-dimensional and flat and it was going to look good? Everybody was in shape digitally on this Fox unveil yesterday.
I don't mind that, because I think it needs to teach us all that in games we need to look skinnier in seats, and you don't want to look uncomfortable, sure, baseball doesn't, with the 400-pound slob sitting in the right field bleachers taking up a couple seats and reminding people, oh, that's why I don't want to go to games, because I'm going to sit next to fat people. So I think that, yes, while as a big guy
that
myself,
would be great. There's a random big guy with like two helmets full of cheese fries sitting among the svelte digital people.
Like the heckler in the movie For Love of the Game. Gotta give it to you, Chapman. Gotta give it to you. You don't have that looking guy sitting there in the digital fans. You're right. But I am anxious to see that. But Bogus, yesterday at Bob's Bar, look, Yankee opening day. None of us could be at opening day. So how do you make opening day feel real? The lineups got introduced. What do you think of the lineups here on opening day at Bob's Bar? This courtesy of Binya Sarish's Instagram.
Should be American League champions if not for the cheating Astros, the New York Yankees. Leading off in center field, number 31, Aaron Hicks, number 31. Batting second in right field, number 99, Aaron Judge, number 99. Batting third at shortstop, number 25, Gleyber Torres, number 25. Cleaning up your designated hitter, hit more than any to play 60 games in a season, number 27, Giancarlo Stanton, number 27. Batting fifth in left field, number 11, Brett Gardner, number 11. Batting sixth and catching, number 24, Gary Sanchez, number 24. Base, number 29, Gio Urshela, number 29. And batting ninth, the second baseman, number 14, Tyler Wade, number 14. And pitching, making his New York Yankees debut, number 45, Gerrit Cole, number 45. Ladies and gentlemen, your would-be, should-be, about-to-be American League champion, 50-10, New York Yankees.
That was the scene before first pitch at Bob's Bar yesterday, Andrew Bogus.
Oh, there's so many of you obnoxious Yankee fans. I mean, I should have stopped listening after we would be the champions without the cheating Astros, who, by the way, won two of three games at Yankee Stadium when they couldn't have been cheating. But whoever that was an amalgamation of Bob Shepard, the legendary Yankee announcer, a little current Paul Olden, and I heard a lot of Mad Dog Russo in there as well. Gino Urshela, there was that weird affectation that doggy has in some of those names, where I don't like a weirdly not English accent, but dog just has a weird cadence sometimes, a little flair to words like Gio Urshela, and I kept hearing that in more than one Yankee name yesterday by whoever was doing that.
Bogus, that was me. That was
no,
me.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. That was me doing
the PA. It sounded nothing like you.
That was my PA voice. That was me.
That's not the high school football PA voice that we got. That's the ball firm of Boogle and Boogle.
That's the point of me playing it. It was me, you doofus. That was
base,
me doing it.
Number 29,
ball.
Gio Urshela, number 29.
I would have never bet even a dollar. That I never would have thought that was you.
Yes.
So you're the one that's mixing together Bob Shepard, Paul Olden, and then a little Mad Dog in there, too.
Yes, I think at some point last night amongst my million tweets about the game, I did tweet out a really grainy video shot from an iPhone of me doing it. But yeah, we had the nice crowd at Bob's Bar last night fired up, and we wanted to treat it like Yankee opening day. So we had the music set, the lineups got red, the Nationals lineup was red as well. Adam Eaton. So we set the tone. Did that make you feel like fans were at the ballpark, though, is the real question.
No, it made me remember why I hate the Yankees so much.
The law firm of Martucci and Fucci back to receive.
Yeah, that's you doing PA.
No, this is new me.
Cleaning up your designated hitter. Hit more than any to play 60 games in a season. Number 27, Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, that's not you.
That is me.
As annoying. I mean, I'm not arguing that it was you in reality, but it does not sound like you at all, not even in the
pass least intercepted said, by Tyler Kamen, return for a touchdown, flag on the play.
That's Sean. There's Sean. Whatever that
now
was yesterday.
Should be American League champions if not for the cheating Astros, the New York Yankees.
Who is that? That's not you. And you gave, was that your sister's social media that you gave the shout out to at the beginning?
So I thought she like film it.
Right, so I thought that might have been like her boyfriend or something. That's why she was filming it. I thought you would have taken complete credit for it from the beginning if it was from you, and it did not sound like you at all.
Well, here we go. That's going to be the summer at Bob's Bar. Wait till the Rangers lineups get introduced on August 1st. We'll have plenty of fun there. All right, when we come
back. Your poor neighbors.
when we come back, the best audio of the day, including "Are Wings a Meal?" It's sound check next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And away we go with Soundcheck on this Friday morning. I get to go first today, heading towards the weekend. I offer you Todd Gurley, once of the LA Rams, now an Atlanta Falcon, don't forget. A guest yesterday with our boys Tiki and Tierney defending himself over his lack of carries and possible health questions from last season.
I'm not going to sit there and complain about carries or complain about touches because one thing you know about football, it's the ultimate team sport. So one guy production is down, that means someone else production went up. So and that's what I'm all about. You know, someone else getting their payday, someone else getting their shine. Wow. Obviously I had the accolades and having the Pro Bowls and the All Pro, but you know, I'm not gonna sit there and complain about not getting the ball. You know, all I can do is control what I control and just try to be the best teammate I can be. I guess, you know, didn't play that much last year, so I still got some treads on my legs from that. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be fun.
Bogus. I don't know, man. Todd Gurley sounds an awful lot like somebody who's in denial about his own health. He's going to go from one of the best running backs in football with an absolute offensive young wizard in Sean McVay, rolling along on their way to a Super Bowl, to suddenly now he's going to pretend he wasn't banged up, didn't fall off the face of the map, and then last year didn't have any problems, and it was just, oh, you know, I wanted to see others get their shine, and I'm never going to complain about that. Obviously, I have a lot of tread left. No, Todd, you weren't right. You weren't healthy. Or Sean McVay would have found a way to make sure he used you.
Yeah, once again here, I'm not tough. I like excuses. I don't want people thinking badly of me. If I was as hurt as we think Todd Gurley is or was, you would know about it in a second. I would not hide behind it. I go, yeah, my knee was messed up. I couldn't do anything. But now I'm healthy, and I'm good to go with the Atlanta Falcons, who surprisingly gave me money without really being able to look at that knee during the pandemic shutdown.
Very odd to me. Now, the next cut here is something I am very, very passionate about. It is what foods are really allowed to be considered a meal. In New York State specifically, we have shut down bars to the point of, yeah, you can go to a restaurant and a bar, but you better be ordering food if you're ordering drinks. There's no just going out and drinking. So, in response to that, what did a lot of bars do? They ended up coming up with something called Cuomo chips, where if you buy a dollar bag of chips, you can sit there and have as many beers as you want in the constant fight between business owners and the governor. So Governor Cuomo now has answered in New York with some guidelines of what he actually considers a meal for you to be able to order a beer with. Take a listen to what he had to say yesterday.
To be a bar, you had to have food available. Soups, sandwiches, etc. More than just hors d'oeuvres, chicken wings. You had to have some substantive food. The lowest level of substantive food were sandwiches.
I can't stand for that, Bogus. I cannot stand
for
that.
You shouldn't.
I understand what he's saying. Yes, a sandwich is a nice, hearty meal. There's two pieces of bread. There's usually some sort of meat. There's like some lettuce, some tomato, some french fries on the side. That means you're going out and you're enjoying a meal. To say that a place offering wings does not count as food to be served while having a drink, I mean, Mr. Cuomo, have you been to a Hooters? Have you been to a Buffalo Wild Wings? I mean, wings is in the name, Buffalo Wild Wings. Hooters, that's all they do is walk around with platters of wings, and guess what people do? They sit down and they eat those wings as dinner. I have been husky my whole life. I'm sorry if I don't sit there and have a freaking turkey club with bacon, lettuce, tomato every night between sourdough bread. Wings are a meal. They might also double as an hors d'oeuvre, but that doesn't mean that Ben Zobrist only plays left field. He can play second base too. Wings are absolutely a meal. For him to say that you cannot go to a bar or a restaurant and say, hey, I want to go out for dinner tonight. Let's order a bunch of wings and have a couple beers and tell you that's not good enough. Sometimes that is good enough. Sometimes it's what you want. Who are you now to draw a line on what's a meal or not, Bogus?
I can't believe you had the audacity to play the Ben Zobrist card on the governor of New York State. how dare you play the Ben Zobrist card? But you're right. I mean, come on. I know that that wings don't always end up in the entree portion of a menu.
Yes.
But when you go and have 18 of them, that's more of a meal than my half a grilled cheese and a cup of tomato soup. Like, that's good enough at a bar. I can have soup at a bar and qualify, but I can't have 3,000 wings as a meal? Come on now.
Cuomo should come out with me. I'll show him the way I wrap my tongue around some Asian zing sauce, baby. That's a meal. That's a meal. Get serious, Gump. All right, when we come back, playoff expansion, Major League Baseball. Is it watering down the product? The DA show continues on this Target Demo Friday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.